Yes, we are here. I am still not yet your Ramble Mania champion, but one day soon I will be. My name is Katie Kaboom, and I am blessed. I am highly favored to be here with the one, the only, the man of the simulations himself, TJ the Great! TJ the Great One.
You see my eyes? You see how tired I am?
I feel you. I felt it.
See what I've had? You see what I have to go through here? Why am I here? Why?
Because Twin's not doing your job.
Why? Everybody within the Ramble Mania Show community, y'all gonna listen to this, because all of you, to some extent or another, watch WWE. I do not. All right? I do not outside of pay-per-views.
I mean, what? You had a week off. Six came last week.
Yeah, I had a week off, and then I was back to my regular schedule of not watching WWE, like Bayley on Raw, and then I had to.
But Bayley was on SmackDown, so it should have made your day.
It did. It like I was sitting here fucking. We'll talk about it, but I was sitting here all upset, and then I heard the Damage Control theme, and I was like, oh, okay, this is much better.
If you want to blame someone, ultimately you blame Hero for you having to do SmackDown.
I don't know, man, but I'm just saying, you guys watch this shit, man. I don't watch this shit. Stop bringing it in here. I'll do it as long as I need it. I'm just saying.
I mean, the moral of the story, it's all Hazel and Twin's fault.
It is their fault. And if Hazel's doing NXT tonight, when I go see him, I'm gonna accost him. I'm gonna verbally accost him. For having, making me have to watch SmackDown for another week.
And NXT.
Oh, I don't watch NXT. I'm not going to watch that. I'm gonna play God of War or 2K, one of those.
No, could you be telling them to bring that ass over here?
Yeah. We still got some work to do with Kratos. So, yeah, we ain't watching that NXT stuff. Before we talk the Friday night SmackDown,
we got some news.
We do got a little bit of news in and out and about the world of professional wrestling.
So this confirms that once again, Hazel, suck my wee-wee, WWE third hour on December 5th, 2022 sets a record low viewership. Oh, who's the fucking B-show now, man? According to NoDQ.com, the December 5th, 2022 edition of WWE Raw drew an average of 1.536 million viewers on the USA Network with a 0.41 on the 18-49 demo rating. The show ranked 6th for the day on cable, and Brandon Thurston of WrestleNomics.com noted the following regarding the numbers. Hour 3 averaged 1,263,000 viewers, which is the lowest single hour ever for Raw. Total viewers was the lowest since October 31st, 18-49, though was up from last week, and 0.41 is higher than last year's December average. But who's the B-show now?
I mean,
it had no Bayley, that's why.
She was on Raw.
She was. I was trying to make some type of excuse for it.
Yeah, she wrestled. Yeah, she in fact wrestled, so I don't know. But
that was against Mia, right?
No, it was Bayley against Rhea and Asuka. And she won.
And then somehow it got, like, I remember looking through the clips that somehow it ended up like a Rhea versus Becky type shit.
They had a stare down when Rhea came out, and it took forever for Rhea to get to the ring. Very cinematic and odd, but all right.
I mean, that would be a good matchup.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was like I was saying when it happened yesterday. The one time they wrestled was NXT, actually, and it was a good match. It was one of the few times that NXT beat Dynamite in the ratings when they were going head to head.
How do you remember all these numbers in your head?
It's just, you know,
like, what do you eat?
Regular shit.
Like, you eat carrots? Like, you know when they say carrots help your eyes?
They I don't even eat carrots like that, so And I have good eyesight. It's a lot of other sports activity happening right now that's going to cut into the pro wrestling. And like we talked about on Dynamite this week, everything pro wrestling is down in the ratings this week. Raw last week was down. Raw this week is down. NXT was down. Dynamite was down. SmackDown was actually not down from the last.
It was decent.
It was a decent rating, but still, you know, lesser than usual. And Rampage was down. Like everything wrestling was down. Wrestling is on a downswing right now in terms.
But it's also the holidays.
That might also be part of it with the holidays coming up. That's always a tough time to get people to watch TV. Sports, like, specific things.
You see all the TV shows going into their fall finales right now because people are not really worried about the holidays because they're too busy shopping and they're doing things with their loved ones because apparently, like, takes 2 weeks out of a year for everyone to go crazy in the stores. And
yeah, I mean, you know, people are this time of year. People's attention are getting pulled in many different directions. So,
they want breaks.
Yeah, you can't blame any particular one thing or person for all the wrestling being down. It is what it is.
So we're not blaming Twin Hazel?
We're blaming them because they have to watch SmackDown, but not for the ratings being down. That's not their fault. Or is it? Did they watch the show? I don't know. But
I mean, they haven't been on this show, so no, they have not seen it.
Yeah, that's true. Hazel said he stopped watching SmackDown. But he does watch SmackDown. He watches it with Dave. So, yeah.
I made a new friend with Dave the other day. Dave is cool.
Yeah, Dave is cool people. Shout out to Dave, Pro Wrestling Show.
So, The Rock, the question for the road to the Royal Rumble, right, is The Rock going to be at the Rumble? As previously noted, Dwayne The Rock Johnson has been rumored to win the Royal Rumble match and to earn his unified WWE Universal title shot. Steve Carrier of RingsideNews.com provided the following update regarding The Rock possibly appearing at the event.
Ew. Ringside News. Sorry. Ew.
Sorry. We reached out to confirm The Rock's Royal Rumble status. A tenured member of the team told us that there's no status update on The Rock. At this time, discussions are still going on, but nothing is settled. There are a few ideas for The Rock in Rumble, ideas for The Rock not in Rumble, ideas for The Rock to show up elsewhere beside the Rumble. Right now, nothing is etched in stone till a deal is reached. But you just know that he's going to come. So it's just like, why are you dragging it out? Who else is going to take, again, we go back to the same conversation we've been having over the last few weeks, Steph. Who the fuck is going to overthrow Roman?
But if it's The Rock, then yeah, I guess now is the time to get him back in the fold. And if they can get him, they'll have him. But it's like I said, you know, The Rock is a busy man, the busy schedule that you have to fit into. Like, you don't get to dictate what The Rock does and when he does.
Yeah, but then why is The Rock jumping on Young Rock, spoilers of a possible match?
Because yeah, I guess he sees the money in it. Like, I don't doubt that The Rock wants to do the match. I think he wants to do the match.
They're all going to keep quiet and then he's just going to pop up.
Yeah, that's probably what'll happen. He'll, like, when it's time for him to pop up, he'll pop up and we'll be quiet about it. So, you know, I ain't pressed about the Rumble and then whether or not he appears, especially because if anything, ain't Cody the guy to win the Rumble this year? It's got to be Cody, right?
Yeah, but that's if his titty healed from the beatdown he got from Seth and Hell in a Cell.
I think his titty healed. Cody's a maniac.
Well, he's probably doing the, you know, his titty push-ups and all that.
Yeah, he's definitely trying to take that John Cena approach to get back because he knows that shit will get you mega points over there. So,
I mean, because there's no person that could probably be like John Cena or like give a John Cena-esque vibe.
That was one of the reasons why they never got off him as a top guy for so long, because he genuinely was a workhorse. Like, coming back from injuries way sooner than expected. Like, he was what Vince loved that shit, because Vince himself was a crazy workaholic. So for his top guy to be able to match that ethic in everything he does, I'm sure Vince loved that. And I'm sure even though Vince ain't there no more and it's Triple H now, I'm sure they will love it too.
You know who else won't be here, though, on SmackDown this week?
Ooh.
Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
The Scottish Shackle Bass will not be at the December 9th, 2022 edition of WWE SmackDown. Drew McIntyre was scheduled to team up with Sheamus in a match against the Unified Tag Team Champions on Monday night. McIntyre announced via Twitter that he'll be unable to wrestle. Unfortunately, I'm medically disqualified to compete this Friday on SmackDown. I don't like to miss any shows, as everyone knows, but I promise I'll be back soon. During the December 5th edition of Raw, it was announced that Butch will replace McIntyre in the SmackDown match. McIntyre last wrestled a house show in Portland, Maine on November 27th, the day after Survivor Series, and the exact nature of him being pulled from the show is unknown at this time. I don't want to see another match with Butch.
Why not? What's wrong with my homie Peter Dune?
I was hoping for like some Drew McIntyre, Sheamus type of tag team.
Well, you know, circumstances have dictated that Drew, unfortunately, cannot be a part of this. So it's got to be the big homie Butch. I guess they don't want Ridge Holland in there. I don't know.
I feel like they're just playing Ridge Holland. Like, he's just standing there.
I mean, Pete Dunne is the more experienced, the better worker of the two. So it makes sense.
In the name of the Bob Marley's, the Ramble Maniacs, the Animaniacs, and whoever else puts the battery in our pack to keep us going, I now declare this with SmackDown on SmackDown in the Ramble Zone. Let's ramble. Ding, ding, ding. The show opened with the Bloodline making their entrance for Sami Zayn's match. As they reach a ring, a video package came recapping their War Games match. Sami started putting over the Usos, but Jimmy stopped him to declare that Sami was the motherfucking MVP at the War Games. They were having such a motherfucking real moment. It was so cute. So cute. He was like, wait, Us, you're not going to do that, bro. Like I told you backstage. You killed it at War Games. You showed us that you are part of our family.
You with the family.
You with the family. Jay admitted that he didn't like Sami, but by sticking with his family, he earned his respect. So then, you know, the question of the day goes, how are you feeling?
Oh, Lord.
Kevin, how are you feeling?
Well, Sami was feeling oozy. I was feeling tired.
You say you're oozy tired?
I'm tired. I don't know if that corresponds to oozy, but I'm tired.
So while Sami was responding about how oozy he was, the Brawling Brutes interrupted with Sheamus saying, it's fight night and I'm going to fuck you up before entering the ring for the match.
Fortnite fella.
So I'm kind of digging, like, I'm digging the whole they're accepting him now, but the fact is that, and we're going to get to it later, that there's still some doubt about Sami's loyalty is what really is now piquing my interest. Because, yeah, he got their help right now, and it fucked up my score. But I'm with this. I need to see the double turn soon.
Yeah. It's the way they're building the story now. It's going to be a real heartbreaking thing if and when the Bloodline turns on Sami and whoops his ass.
Because right now, he lost his bestie.
Yeah, Kevin Owens said, that's what Michael Cole said. Kevin Owens was like, I'm done with you. And so now Sami really only got his peoples in the Bloodline. So once that dries up, it's going to be a dangerous time.
Doesn't it remind you of when you're like the unpopular kid in school and then you do something to get cool with the popular kids?
I mean, I guess, yeah, that is one way to look at it. Sammy then rooted himself in with the popular clique. And then, but yeah, it's a ticking time bomb thing now. Until he messes it up. But right now, they are 100% with them. They're helping him all throughout this match with Sheamus, doing everything they can to make sure he gets the win.
So how about you tell us about that match?
Yes. Sammy sets up Sheamus for the fucking 10 beats of the Baldron on the apron, but Sheamus is like, are you out of your fucking mind, fella? And he makes a comeback, and he goes for the proper version. But Sammy cuts him off and goes off the top. Sheamus hits him with the Irish Curse backbreaker, goes to the Texas Cloverleaf, or I suppose the Irish Cloverleaf. And Sammy makes the ropes. Then he sends Sheamus outside, dives on him into the break, and then we come back where Sheamus drops him with a white noise. That gets a near fall. He sets up for the bro kick, but Sammy rolls out to the apron where Sheamus catches him anyway, and then he puts on those 10 beats of the Baldron. Then he sets up for the bro kick, but Jimmy distracts him. Sammy hits the blue thunder bomb for a near fall. The foolish part of me thought for a second, oh shit, you gonna pin him with the blue thunder bomb? Never.
Nope, it was a two count.
Yeah, Pete Dunne and Rich Holland, they run over to the Usos. They start brawling, and then Sheamus sets up for the bro kick, but then Jay runs in and super kicks him, and that allows Sammy to roll him up for the 1, 2, and 3. Sammy beats the big fella with the help of Jey Uso, once again, you know, cementing that they really are boys now.
And that's funny because they start to trickle in that Sammy still lied to him about the conversation with KO.
Yeah, when the Usos talk later on, he asked Jey, like, hey, how you feel about, you know, Sammy lying to your face? And then Jay says, well, Roman said he looked in his eyes and saw what he needed to see, so I guess we good. So I guess, you know, they're good for now, but it's clearly still a thing in the back of their heads, the very, very back of their minds.
Then we go backstage where Megan Morant interviews Kofi Kingston, and Kofi is the lucky first one to announce that he is a superstar to confirm his participation in the Royal Rumble. Megan asks Kofi about the main event and arguing with him that either Ricochet or Escobar could beat Imperium Interrupted. I like this, right? Because he's so decorated as far as Intercontinental Champion, I wish they kind of just threw him into this at this point, because it would have been better, maybe a little more, like, diverse for me, like, to put him in the main, like, in the finals. I feel like they just kind of used the whole World Cup to, like, just push Ricochet, really.
I mean, that... By the end of the show, that's what it seems like. But I mean, even that, a couple months ago, could you have ever said something like that in WWE? This is a vehicle to push Ricochet. I mean, so even that in itself is impressive. And
I'm still mad his name is Trevor.
Yeah, Trevor Mann. But Trevor, they let him be Ricochet, honestly. They let him be Rico.
Yeah, but then on top of that, it's just like, okay, so he's going to face Imperium in 2 weeks. And then if Gunther or Walter, whatever he's going by.
I mean, it's Gunther. He ran away from Braun Strowman. Walter would never.
You know, but then if Gunther fucks him up, what was all of that for then?
I mean, you do a quick build, and if you're smart, then you've built Ricochet up, and even though Gunther beat him, Ricochet is still in a solid position, and you can move him into something else. And then you can move on to Gunther's next feud. Like, in a sensible ecosystem, that's how it will work. We just have to see if this is a sensible ecosystem.
They gave Bray Wyatt an actual, like, spot where he's not making a dramatic entrance into the ring. He's just talking. And I think that was the first time I've seen this in, like, over five years, which is kind of weird. But at backstage, Bray Wyatt said that once upon a time, we were all animals just trying to survive. He said that no one wants to speak about our primal instincts to avoid the freak. He said he wasn't the one that hurt LA Knight, but if he did, everyone would know because there would be nothing left of him.
You said if it was me, he'd be dead.
Bro, that sounds like, so do you remember, and I hate using this example, but when O.J. Simpson wrote that book, If I Did It.
If I Did It. Yeah, I did get that kind of vibe from it. I didn't do it, but if I did.
I would have done it like this.
I would have did it exactly like this, just so you know. But I didn't do it, though. that's the type of vibes Bray Wyatt is giving off here.
Especially O.J. Simpson vibes.
With the gimmick. What is it? Uncle Howdy? Yeah, Uncle Howdy. Flashing in and out.
We're still backstage, right? Because we decided to be a little more promo and backstage heavy this episode, right? At backstage, Madcap Moss gave Emma the pep talk prior to her match, reminding her that she still helped change the game and that she belongs here. And she's like, oh my god, let's thank you. It's like, oh my god, you're so sweet. And give him a kiss on the cheek. And she made her way to the stage. She got her ass whooped by Shayna Baszler.
She sure did. Like, what's going on with this Emma run so far? Like, I like that they're billing her as like a key part of the women's revolution, because she was, and that's what they should do. And you know, like she said in her little promo, she's been away for 5 years. But you know, in that case, that she's been away for 5 years. Don't you want to build some defining characteristics for her or something? Like, I get if you don't want to go back to, like, either of her old gimmicks, like the heel Emma or babyface Emma, even though I feel like babyface Emma.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But if you don't want to do that, I feel like she should be something other than fucking controller accessory. Why she got to be Mad Cat's controller's girlfriend? That seems like...
She seems like the Barbie doll.
Both of these SmackDown shows I've seen so far, that's been her role. Like, she and fucking the controller just give each other pep talks. What is that?
You know, if we're going to change something in this women's division, can we give more roles? Like, I see what Trips is doing with Liv, and we're going to get into that later because she fucking went full out crazy. Again, and I loved it. But you build up her character, you build up Shotzi, but you bring people like Emma back and you're kind of still leaving her at the waist.
Yeah, because it sort of feels like they brought Emma back to be a body, which, I mean, if that...
But if that was the thing, isn't that why they had Aaliyah?
I guess, but yeah, I feel like, all right, if that's what you brought her back for, okay, but I feel like she could be more than that. If you tried, but...
And then Piper Niven, they should change her name back to Piper Niven.
It'd be nice if they did that, but I don't know if that's how they're rocking. They might be rocking with the Dewdrop.
The kids are rocking with the Dewdrop, the adults aren't.
Well, hey, if the kids are rocking with it, then they definitely might keep it. Cause...
Get out of here. Ew.
You never know.
Yuck. Yeah. Yuck, yuck. So, we're here with Shayna versus Emma. Would you like to do the honor, sir?
Yeah, Emma gets the tarantula in this, but once it's broken, Shayna comes back, puts her right in the cure for you to clutch, packs her up, gets the easy win. Emma tries to, like, escape from her post-match, but Shayna's like, nah, you got to get your ass whooped. But then Shotzi runs down for the save, and Shayna beats her ass, too, like, It was so sad. Shotzi ran it.
And then Raquel Rodriguez came.
Then Raquel Rodriguez came out with her arm in a sling, and then Shayna was like, all right, I'm out of here. It took three of you guys to fucking get me out of here. Yeah, man, way to not get anyone over here. This was whatever.
It was just one of those, I feel like that was just a filler match.
And the whole thing felt like filler, like... I guess the story they're trying to build out of it is Shayna and Ronda are bullying everyone and someone's got to stand up to them. So, I don't know.
I feel like that's gonna happen, and then Shayna's gonna just turn on Ronda. We're finally gonna get that.
Yeah, might as well be where you take it, but you gotta do something. Gotta book her better, cause you don't know, shit ain't rocking right now.
They need to get their shit together.
Now, y'all, it's me, Lacey Evans.
Yo, but where do we go from Lacey Evans, the Southern Belle, right? To Lacey Evans, I survived rape, I've survived being in the military, I've survived everything. To doing a vignette of her being training as a Marine.
Right. This is like the third or fourth time they've repackaged her.
In 1 year, I feel like. In a year. Because remember, she had gotten pregnant when Ric Flair was still on the scene, and then that's how they kind of just wrote her off, like making it sound like that Ric Flair was her baby daddy.
Yeah, like I feel like the last time I heard about Lacey Evans, they were doing those vignettes where she was talking about, like, yeah, her rough family life or whatever, and, you know, my dad, and my mom, and all that. And then
her refusing to fight Aaliyah.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I guess that happened. And then now we doing it again. Run it back with Lacey. Lacey Evans' entire fucking WWE career has just been them doing shit with her and then them just being like, actually, run that back real quick. Let's try that again. Different this time. Like, it's just a bunch of redos. Her whole career has just been redos. What's going on with them and Lacey Evans?
Trips, come on, man. Figure it out. Like, what are you smoking?
I don't know what they got going on in offices.
Like, how are you repackaging the same gimmick like five times?
Word, it's crazy. a lot of repackaging.
Yeah, that's like you repackaged seven five different times of the same way.
Yeah, like I am gimmickless at this point. I don't know what I am. My soul has been split into many pieces. So yeah, get Lacey right. Figure out what you want to do with her, and then do it and commit to the bit.
So we get another video package after about Ricochet still hyping this one match for the entire time.
Yeah, they tried to hype up the main event, make it seem like a big deal. I respected it.
I do too. So now we are at Gunther versus Kofi.
Yes.
He is not Walter, he is Gunther.
Yeah, no, this is Gunther. This man be running from people. So yeah, Walter ain't like that at all.
Kofi took early control with a couple of kicks and a drop kick, but Gunther shut him down with a backbreaker and uppercut. Gunther planted Kofi down with a chop before snapping his neck with his feet. Kofi caught Gunther with a couple of right hands, but was stopped with a big chop. Kofi knocked Gunther off the apron and tried to go for a suicide dive, but Imperium tripped him while the referee wasn't watching. Braun Strowman, the monster moment, the man that knows how to get fired by WWE, dropped Vince and Kaiser over the barricade. Kofi took the advantage of the distraction to avoid a powerbomb and nailed Gunther with the SOS as SmackDown went to a commercial break. Back from break, Kofi tried to roll up Gunther, but he knocked out at two. Kofi blasted Gunther with a drop kick to the leg, followed by a series of chops, a drop kick, and a leaping clothesline. Gunther invaded the trouble in paradise to go for a German suplex, but Kofi ain't having none of that. He landed on his feet. He caught Gunther with a pendulum kick, setting up a high crossbody for a two count. Kofi tried to go for a flying move, but Gunther chopped him midair. God damn. Gunther hit his German suplex, followed by a Boston Crab, which he transitioned into a crossfade. Gunther brought Kofi's SOS, but still managed to nail him with a shotgun, dropkick, and a powerbomb for a shocking near fall. Kofi barely got up, only to be finished with Gunther's new finisher, the Last Symphony.
Yeah, he dropped this man with an Emerald Flosion, and then Michael Cole was like, that's called the Last Symphony. And I was like, okay. Yeah. Gunther wins. I do like that they're seemingly are keeping the Walter thing of him just having whatever finisher he wants. He can beat you literally however the fuck he wants. Like, they should keep that element of his character. Like, he doesn't need a set finisher. Like, he has finishers, but he can beat you however the fuck he needs to beat you.
Oh, yeah. And he needs to, like, gain momentum back after running away from Braun.
Yeah, so hopefully, you know, that when they do that match, he'll have a strong win. And, you know, they can rehab that a little bit.
So we then go to the part about Sammy telling the Usos, let's get Uzi food.
Mm-hmm.
So they told him to go with Solo.
Yeah, they was like, take Solo with you. You got ops out here, B.
Hell yeah, he's the most hated man in the E.
Yeah, so yeah, take Solo in case the ops try to run up on you. So yeah, him and Solo left.
And then Jimmy and Jay talked about Sammy lying, and Jay responded after War Games, he knew where they stood. And then Sheamus attacked him from out of nowhere with a shillelagh before saying that he and Drew McIntyre would be motherfucking waiting.
Mm-hmm. Banger after banger after
banger. After banger after the banger, and it's like all the way into the break.
This man was saying, all I do is have bangers, which is Sheamus, is true.
It's marriage is doing well on him because ever since he came back from getting married, he's been on fire.
Yeah. He's got the juice. He's got the sauce. This man is doing well for himself.
He got that newly married girl.
It is actually kind of impressive to see Sheamus as a babyface not be completely hated.
Right?
Yeah, the last few times they tried that over the years didn't really work that well. It seems like it's working all right this time.
And now this is when this has to be the highlight of Tevin's day.
God bless you, damn right. Damage Control is here. Now this show got my attention. Now we spitting. Now we talking that real shit.
Go for it.
Bailey bullies a fan in the crowd. It should have been me, not him, but it's okay. she says,
"You just want her to sit on your lap, bro."
Oh, that'd be fantastic. If please and thank you, all I want for Christmas.
Horny in jail. Horny in jail.
Fair enough. Bailey says they were in War Games for a combined total of 95 minutes, and you know, she was gonna give Becky credit, but then the crowd cheered Becky, so she said, "I'm not giving Becky anything. Screw Becky." Says nobody on the SmackDown roster stepped up to face us. And as the longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champion of all time, that makes me disappointed. I'm the role model. What's wrong with you people? And that she's berating everyone that brings out Liv Morgan, who decides that she wants to fight three people. But then she, of course, gets jumped, naturally.
I mean, three people, of course.
Yeah, she even said, oh, it's three of y'all? Bet. Here I come. And then she got jumped. But then she is saved by, of all people, Tegan Knox, Nixon Newell. But she's Tegan Knox again. She runs down. The crowd is like, oh, shit, who that? And then they turn up the fake crowd audio, which is like, damn, you ain't got to just let it rock out. But then she and Liv cleared out the ring. Liv had the kendo stick. She had the shiniest wizard. I was happy to see Tegan in here because, like, she's had some rough luck over the years. I think they did her dirty when they fired her. So, yeah, it's nice to see her. Good to see her get a shot.
I liked it. I mean, I like Heel Bailey so much. Ding dong. I love the dynamic with her and Michael Cole. Like, but Michael Cole would be happy to see me, even though I'm stuck in this foo-foo Buffalo.
Yeah, she was like, I know Michael Cole must have missed me. I missed her.
Kevin missed you. Yeah. Okay, Bailey, that's more important.
Yeah, that's what's most important here.
Follow Kevin at TJ.
TJ, the GR, the number 8. It's that. As that.
Yes. Wasn't too simple for me, but it was simple for him. So we're backstage now. Karrion Kross cuts a short promo while Scarlett flipped over a tarot card, revealing Rey Mysterio as his next target. Why did I do that to me? Yo, why is everyone coming for Rey right now? Like, don't the man got enough problems? His son is playing Little Poppy to Big Poppy.
That's why they think he's soft out in these streets. That's why, Ray, you gotta beat your son's ass. You should have beat his ass.
Like, how you let your son come to your dinner table and fuck you up in front of your wife and kid?
Couldn't be me. Dom would have been jumped. He'd have been jumped at Thanksgiving. That's crazy.
And then they announced everything for next week's Raw. The Usos versus Matt Riddle and Elias, undisputed tag team champion, even though we know Matt Riddle got his ass whooped. Announced for next week's SmackDown, the Usos and Matt Riddle versus Elias versus Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. That's really crazy, though, how Matt Riddle and Matt Riddle is out and Drew McIntyre is out that same week.
Yeah, that's a string of bad luck.
We got Shotzi versus Sheena again. Why the fuck? Why?
Oh, Lord.
We had an announcement for Kurt Angle's birthday celebration. Happy birthday, Kurt Angle.
Oh, hell yeah. Is he going to come out in a milk truck? He should. Should come out in a milk truck and raise hell. It looks like there's been enough talk. It's time for the main event.
You see, I like it when you do it.
You know, you just got to put a little bass in.
So, before we get to the match, early on, Santos Escobar and Ricochet exchanged wrist locks until Cruz distracted Ricochet, allowing Escobar to take him off the apron. Ricochet caught Escobar with a springboard dropkick, followed by a suicide dive. Cruz shoved Ricochet off the top rope before a springboard move, but the referee noticed and ejected Wild, Cruz and Zelina as the show went into commercials. They said you're out, bitch.
Yeah, you got them all out of there. And I definitely was still calling that man Raul Mendoza. So yeah, what the hell are they calling him? Cruz, what fucking something of the bowl? Del Toro. Yeah, Cruz Del Toro.
Take it back from break, Tev.
Yes, indeed. So we come back from the break. Zelina's on commentary. Oh, well, she's gone now, but they were chanting NXT for a little bit. A small NXT chant, which they should have been chanting Lucha, Lucha. Because as Michael Cole mentioned, this is the first time that these two are wrestling in WWE. But I get the feeling that if you like this combination of guys, you would like King Cuerno versus Prince Puma in Lucha Underground. I just get a feeling. But Ricochet, they're up top. They hit a big superplex. He fires up. They double down, and then they head outside. He chases Santos down like they're staring each other down, and then he leaps up on the barricade. Santos follows and then hits a Rana off of the barricade onto the floor. That was a super dope spot. Then they go up top again in the ring. Santos goes for the Rana one more time, but Ricochet lands on his feet, comes back with the suplex and the springboard moonsault. That gets a near fall. Crowd starts chanting USA, which I guess you get a pass because it's the World Cup, but ew. Rico goes up for the shooting star, but Escobar gets the knees up for a near fall, and then he hits a poison Rana for a near fall. Major NXT face. I guess, yeah, true enough. I don't think we see poison Ranas on main roster WWE like that. But then they go up. Rico hits an avalanche poison Rana and then follows up with a combo and the 630. For the 1, 2, and 3, Ricochet wins.
Trevor.
Trevor in a very good match. Trevor, man. I appreciate that they let Rico be Rico. I thought this was a good match. Very good match.
Oh, yeah. I think that was the most entertaining match of the entire night.
Oh, easily, easily. Best thing on the whole show.
You know. I'm mad. I kind of really wanted I was about to say Pablo Escobar, Santos Escobar to win. I mean, I'm not doing this. I like that it was a flyer versus a flyer. I do appreciate the references that they were making on commentary, that it's now like they're starting to talk more and more about their track record outside of the E. So for people that don't really know about their background, they get to learn a little bit. I don't like the outcome that's still going to be Ricochet versus Gunther.
Yeah, but I mean, I imagine it, like, again, if they manage to do it the right way, I think it'll end up being something that both guys can benefit from.
But will he actually get the gold?
If I had to guess, no. Because I think they want to do that Gunther and Braun match. So, yeah, probably no. But we'll see. We'll see. Because you don't necessarily need the title to do Gunther and Braun, but maybe they may want the title for it. But we'll see. But, yeah, I don't know, man. As far as this show goes, it was a WWE show, which...
It felt like a house show.
Yeah, like, there's so much filler. The pacing is so wonky with the, oh, we're going to have a match, but actually here's two video packages and a random promo and a recap. And it's like, the way the whole shit is laid out is still like, oh, man, this shit is a slog to get through. Like, even when there's good stuff, it's still a slog to get through because of the way it's set up and the camera work is ass. And it's like, oh, man, it ain't for me, I guess.
It wasn't it for me either. I was really not even paying. I was trying hard to pay attention.
Yeah, like, check out the main event of this show, but otherwise.
Yeah, and Bailey. Don't forget Bailey. Yeah,
check out Damage Control and the main event. Then there you go.
But that was it. That's what SmackDown on the Smacky Down.
That is, in fact, what SmackDown. Damage Control.
All the Damage Control. All the Bailey everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to that woman. And the
that other beautiful woman. Goddess.
Yes. But yeah, that in fact is the show. Of course, you people.
Pointing goodies.
Morning goodies to you people, and let me let them know where to find us. Find us on Instagram at Ramble Mania Show and at Banter Club Podcast. Find us on Twitter at Ramble Mania, facebook.com/Ramble Mania Show. Also find our group there, Ramble Mania Show's Banter Club, where we and the other wrestlers and podcasters and everybody we associate with post all our goings on and all that's going down. As far as audio goes, wherever audio was found, at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, TuneIn, Overcast. Everywhere your podcasts are found, search Ramble Mania Show or Banter Club. As far as visuals, we're on twitch.tv/Ramble Mania Show. We are on Spotify Video, YouTube, search Ramble Mania Show or Banter Club. When you get here, like the videos, click subscribe, and click the bell so that when a new content drops, it goes straight to you. As for me personally, find me on Instagram at TJ the Great One. That's TJ the GR, the number 8, the number 1. And find me on Twitter at TJ the Great. That's TJ the GR, the number 8. It's as simple as that.
What's up, boys? You're on Rive. You can follow us everywhere at Rawzone NYC, www.rawzonenyc.com. You can also catch us on Pulso 82.3 FM as well as Elgin Sound Radio on the Live 365 app. Click the link below for our link tree and you'll get all of our content, including our website, our stuff that we do with Ramble Mania, Raw Zone Wrestling, and more. And for myself, you can follow me everywhere at imiv.xo_. And oh yeah, we're making the Twitch for Raw Zone, so stay tuned.
And with that, yes, a porn and goodies, and of course, a good fight, and a good night.
Too sweet.
And it's too sweet.